G'day, you sickos, backbones and rogue stallions out there. We're back.
Yeah, g'day. G'day.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm great.
Tickety-boo?
Tickety-boo, you Greek Adonis.
Thanks, mate. Yeah, I'll
take
that.
You're looking hot. I mean, you know what? You're giving very sort of Wall Street, early sort of weekend vibes off to the Hamptons.
Yeah, off to sort of like Montauk or something like that, you know? Yeah. No, we're both running a little bit of Merino today, which is nice nice for the office. Green on myself, blue on yourself. Yeah, a bit of a trader vest going on, a Yankee cap as well, which is... I'm unsure about.
Well, let me tell you, mate, I came into the office today thinking I'm going to dress well, but I'm not going to dress my best.
Do you know, I almost ran a gilet today as well.
Did you?
Decided to put it down last minute. I thought it was just a bit too much with a jumper for me and the tie, you know.
Understood.
It was a bit of too much of a juxtaposition.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
But anyway, we're not here to talk about fashion. We're here to talk about wine.
Well, we've got one wine.
Well, we think we do.
It's an interesting concept.
This is new to me.
So it is for me too.
This is wine from a can.
From a can.
Well, this is wine that you were ordering Nando's earlier on Deliveroo, and we said, oh shit, actually we might need to get some wine for later, and this is all they had. But I mean, you know.
Canned wine. Hey, give it a go.
I'll try anything once.
You'll do the honours. I'm steering clear of the old booze.
Booze. Mm. Why?
Look, my liver's not in good shape.
Yeah, what, and mine is?
I've gone to the doctors and they've given me sort of a diagnosis that isn't really sort of...
Well, at least you've gone to the doctors. I'm walking in blind here.
Well, that's why, you know.
Okay.
There is nothing better than not going to the doctors.
No, there really
isn't.
It
was the hassle from my mum there. Without the hassle of my mum saying, you got to go to the doctors to check yourself out.
Mm.
What's the best thing you can do? Not go to the doctors. Undiagnosed. The less you know, the better you go.
I'd rather have a clear conscience than a clear bill of health. You know what I mean?
That's what I mean. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. We shouldn't encourage that. Go to the doctor. We really shouldn't. All right. And somebody should take me to the doctor, actually. I don't think I've been for about 9 years. Anyway, let's...
It's a Sauve Blanc.
What is this thing? Actually, what's this
called? It's a Sauve Blanc called the Spire.
Spear? Apparently, the company was established in 1692, which I somewhat fail to believe, especially considering this is a South African wine, and I don't even know if South Africa was established in 1692. But anyway, let's crack it open.
You get a shotgun.
Pop it open. Oh, we should have shotgunned it. That would have been
can of wine.
Disgusting, actually. But
yeah, yeah, probably.
It's a lovely sort of mint green. I like the design. It's
now,
a nice design.
The only thing that I'm starting to worry about is how are you going to get it on the nose?
I'm just going to have to.
You're going to have to taste it.
You've smelled a Red Bull. You know, I mean, if you can smell a Red Bull if somebody opens one within 4 miles, can't you? So
yeah.
Yeah. All right. Ooh. I feel like it. Do you know? I'm almost getting apple juice. Because the can looks a lot like the appetizer thing. It's almost like tricking my brain into thinking like that's what I'm about to drink. You know?
Yeah, I see what you mean.
We're not going to get the same kind of like, you know, nice sort of noises, you know, from the glass or something. Really. We could have just poured it into a glass. Anyway, I'm not getting. Can you smell anything?
Told you.
Because obviously, it doesn't encourage.
It smells like a seltzer.
Yeah, like an apple seltzer. You know what I mean?
Hey. Give it a go, mate.
Yeah, I'll get it on the palais.
Get it on the palais.
And I think this might be the first time I've ever drank wine from the year I'm currently in. This is 2024.
Actually, yes, that's a good point.
I don't know if I have. I hate to sound like a snob, which might be a half lie. But I really don't know if I've ever had.
Get it on the palais, mate. See what you feel.
All right, stop wasting time. It's a weird... It's not bad, but it's not good.
Yeah, like, what do you feel? How's the acidity, the tones? Is it round or is it quite flat?
I see what you mean. I'll give you something. I mean, there's really not much to it as far as a flavor compound. I mean, I think, obviously, there's no oxygen getting in there, so it's kind of... Yeah.
Well, I mean, oxygen is not supposed to get into wine that much.
No, but there should be some... It should breathe a bit. It shouldn't be... I'm going to go on a limb here, and I'm just going to say that wine shouldn't be canned. I don't think it should be canned.
Well, it would have been a long time ago because it's a great cost-saving initiative.
Mm.
But I think, obviously, if you want to keep your quality up there, that's probably not the best thing to do.
Look, I'd say it's smooth and drinkable. Like, definitely smooth and drinkable. It's a really flat kind of
sashy wine.
Mm.
We've been doing a lot of sashy wines lately.
To be honest, we've been buying cheap wine.
Yeah, I mean, not that we're trying to, encourage the sesh as much as we do love a good sesh.
We do like a sesh.
But,
dude, you know what? It's
a responsible sesh, by the way, just to put it out there to the listeners.
Absolutely.
Go on, out of 10. If you can grade it.
Yeah, I think I can. And I think I can grade it quite well. Look, it's a 4.418.
Yeah, no, it's just a good number.
Yeah, it's like, because it's not that shit. It's quite pleasant on the tongue.
Well, the only
but it's
thing,
just very strange.
And do you want me to tell you, the only thing is the cost of this wine.
How
because
was that?
It was £4.80. And when you put that into perspective.
On Deliveroo.
So of course, Deliveroo is going to get their cut. But
and this is a 250ml can, just a third of a bottle.
It's a third of a bottle, but that's still a £12 wine. Now, is that a good £12 wine or a bad £12 wine? That's what you're going to compare it to, brother.
I guess it's a £12 bottle, right? Yeah. I'd buy that for £12.
All right.
In bottle form.
In bottle form, yeah.
I don't see. Do you want to have a taste?
Here goes my.
Honestly, it's kind of weird. It's just, it feels like apple juice. Like, it feels like you're just drinking apple juice, which has a bit of a wine aftertaste.
Fuck, that is grim.
It's not.
It's fucking gross.
Do you disagree with my 4.418 then?
Mate, I'm going well low here. I think I've never gone this low. I'm going to go for a zero. I
guarantee you've gone that low before, but anyway.
A zero?
I don't think
I've ever done a zero before. I would not recommend a Speer 1692.
I don't think you've given it a fair chance.
Fine, 0.1.
All right, fine, take it. All right, well, that rounds up the wine segment of the week. What do you want to jump into next? You want to start IndyCar briefly again, and we can just skip straight out of that?
What did we speak about this week already?
Well, I think...
We spoke about the fact that Max was world champion.
There was a thermal test. I'm just going IndyCar.
Oh, okay.
Nothing's happened since the thermal test.
Nothing's really happened in racing.
I texted Angela yesterday.
Good.
Yeah, that's pretty much all the IndyCar news that I've got.
I've got no news from IndyCar. Formula 2. We've just watched the quali.
Yeah, we just watched Formula 2 qualifying. Actually, we can get into this.
Yeah, we can get into this. Bortoleto, P2. Yeah. Aron in another planet.
Yeah, so we've got both championship contenders on the sprint and the feature, each starting P2 on the grid. Yeah. And I guess, well, it's up
and
to the drivers.
Aron's not that far behind. Let's not forget. He is only 33
points
behind.
That's right. He was leading the championship for a long time, wasn't he?
So it does look like it's going to be quite a tight affair going into Abu Dhabi.
Yeah. I love a tight affair.
I do love a tight affair too. It's going to be sparkly. That's for sure.
Yeah, mate. I'm looking forward to
it. I'm looking out for some sparks this weekend. I'd love to see a couple of clashes there on track.
Yeah.
Not crashes, clashes.
Clashes.
Big difference.
Mm.
Some good fights. Some rubbins racing, you know?
Yeah. I just want to see.
Rubbing off the road.
Yeah. I want to see some handbags maybe a little bit.
Handbags?
Yeah. A couple of handbags in the pit lane afterwards.
Oh, yeah. I see. Between the sort of driver mothers.
Yeah.
Just
to drive, swinging handbags at each other. It's sort of a popular expression. I think actually Hadjar and Deruva almost had a couple of handbags at about this point last year. But anyway, I'm looking forward to it. I love a bit of aggro, a bit of mongrel. You know,
see, the only problem with this theory is that if you're in Gabby Bortoleto's mind, right, the guy's already got his drive sorted.
Yeah,
so
we discussed
obviously
this.
He wants to win,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think he necessarily needs to.
If I can go sports psychology on this, that's probably the state of mind I'd rather be in.
No, of course, but what I'm saying is if you're expecting handbags, like you said, you're not going to get handbags from fuck this, I'm out of here anyway.
Yeah, you won't get it from Gabby, who also won't want to unimpress the bosses at Sauber and Audi, et cetera. But I mean, between Aron and Hadjar, crack on, boys.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, ding, ding, ding.
We'll have to see a bit of a fight. Do you know what? We've had this conversation with world leaders.
Aron would smoke him. Yeah, I knew exactly where you were going with that.
Smoke
him.
If you put every single Formula 2 driver on the grid in a boxing ring, full wrestling ring.
Wrestling, no gloves?
No gloves.
Okay.
It's like free-for-all.
Yeah.
Sort of fight to the death.
All right, let's pull up the grid.
Who's coming out on top?
All right, let me just pull up the grid because they'll post the qualifying order.
We may have done this segment
now.
Already before, but
I don't know. We might have done. No, I think we did with Formula One drivers, and we land at Lewis would probably.
Yeah, Lewis would come out swinging. Yeah.
So if we go F2, now bear with us here.
Now you see, I've got a couple of guys who I think would tap out early on.
Yeah. Okay. So here we go. So this is practice qualifications early. So I mean. We may have had this. We've probably just had this conversation before. But anyway, Martins, he's pretty nimble and stocky.
Martins taken out of the park. Sorry, I forgot. I even forgot he was there. But no, it's Martins taken out.
He used to box as well, right?
No, he was a gymnast.
I feel like I've seen him with some gloves on at some point.
Oh, probably in his sort of free, you know, getting ready into the kill.
He'd be pretty.
Thing.
Yeah, he'd go pretty good. He's quite pretty though, so I don't know if he's like scrappy. Whereas I've just said that Aaron would probably take him, and I stand by that. But I don't see Hadjar not using his nails. Biting.
I see. I see he's a biter. You'd go
100%. If Hadjar isn't a biter. I'm a monkey's uncle. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
he's got
yeah,
a
yeah.
strong, like, bite vibe.
Strong jaw.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Behrman's getting knocked out in the first 5 seconds, let's be honest.
I mean, yeah.
Boys built, love him, but boys built like a twig.
See, I'll tell you what, I think Gabby, similar. I'm quite early.
Oh, Gabby's gone fast. Yeah. I wouldn't put it far past him to Gabby try and knock himself out to save somebody else the job. You know, do it nice and clean.
Yeah. Make sure it's sort of swift.
Browning, I reckon, would go all right. He's got that kind of northern mongrel in him, you know, like it's a bit of, you know.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
Antonelli, I could see him maybe getting some moves.
See, I reckon he'd be kind of a Floyd Mayweather kind of guy. I think he'd be very good at dodging the punches, not very good at throwing them.
Pepe Marti would get knocked out trying to calm everyone down.
Yes. No. He would be the ref.
Yes. We'd try to, and then someone would. Yeah.
And then get knocked out.
Yeah. And a diplomat in him would take over.
Yeah.
Miata, I could honestly see just being that quiet danger. The quiet danger man, you know?
Yeah. Sort of like underneath. It's a kind of the underdog.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to pull stereotypes, but there's a few assumptions I'm making. Then you've got Cordiel. He'd probably go all right.
I reckon Cordiel will be up there. Top five.
Yeah, because the Belgians have quite a strong, you know, military kind of involvement. You know, they've never started a war. They've certainly helped. Then Vachon would probably go all right.
I reckon Vachon would be out early.
You think?
Yeah.
He's quite built though. He's one of the bigger guys.
He's a tall geezer, but he's a thin geezer.
Yeah. Villa Gomez, I don't really know his stature too well.
I think Villa Gomez, you know, sort of spicy Mexican.
He'd throw on a Mexican wrestling mask and just start really getting into his own.
I reckon he'd like turn into a different
person. Like
Rey Mysterio in the house. Yeah, I reckon he'd, different personality and go ahead and swinging.
And then obviously new to the grid, we've got Sean Shields. Don't really know who. Ken Shields, sorry. John Bennett from the Ted movie. And we've got Dino Boganovic. Dino wouldn't go well.
Yeah, Dino Boganovic.
He'd get sat on by Hadjar, I reckon, in the first 10, and he'd be out.
But who's coming out on top? Who's your final go-to?
I think it would come down to Browning and Martins.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Because Correa's not there anymore, because I think Correa would have been a strong contender earlier. Yeah, he's tougher than probably the entire grid put together. So
yeah, well there you go. I'm going to go Victor.
Okay, all right. Well, just for national pride, I'll go with Luke.
There you go.
All right. Formula One. Max Verstappen's behavior post championship is some of the best I've ever seen.
I mean, do you know what? I've had my fair share of parties.
He was on the gin and tonics talking to Sky Netherlands. He was on the vodka Red Bulls talking to Sky Germany.
he was sipping Heineken's
in the press conference. Yep.
And the only time I didn't see him with a drink in his hand was with that very deep and thoughtful interview with Lawrence Barreto to nail sort of the championship shut, which I think he was probably already pretty
steamed. He'd had a couple.
Although he looked sober as a chook. You know,
yeah,
so
we're pretty good at keeping a lid on things after a couple of drinks, though.
Only after a couple.
Yeah,
once you get past a certain stage. Well, he did get past a certain stage because he was spotted by none other than Inspector George.
G. Russ,
leaving the hotel at 9 a.m. and Max still in the bar.
Outstanding.
Which is, for me, outstanding behavior.
To be honest, Max and I are very similar ages. We've covered this off, I believe, earlier in the week as well. Mm-hmm. I don't have the stamina to do a 9 a.m.
No, but I think
I'm also not a Formula One driver.
Won a Formula One World Championship.
Yeah. Hard to put myself in that position, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, well, you see, you're not exactly waking up early.
Well, I mean, to be honest, mate, the closest I've got, really, and the closest I really can say, is we had our celebration, you know, friends and family for our new company on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And I was out of there by midnight and screaming into the toilet the next morning for about 3 hours.
Yeah, no, you did have a pretty rough morning.
I gave you
a call sort of around 12, 1 o'clock there.
Mm.
You weren't sounding too good.
You gave me one at 10:30 as well. I saw the phone ring. I took one look at that and I was like, nah.
Your honker was blocked up there yesterday. Your head was spinning.
Yeah, I didn't know who, what, or where I was for most of the day yesterday.
But yeah, no, Max Verstappen taking out the park and partying in style.
No, it's good, mate. And we touched on it as well, I believe, a couple of weeks ago maybe. Like, if you're going to wrap it up in Vegas or Qatar, try and get the job done in Vegas.
Yeah, try and get it done in Vegas.
Yeah.
Because I think, you know, the Qatar celebrations will be quite muted.
Yeah.
And obviously, I myself will be in Abu Dhabi next week for the end of season of Formula 2.
For the bash.
For the bash.
Yeah.
What a great place that is.
It is. Love, can't beat the wet deck at the W, can you?
No, you can't. And the thing is, I think one of the key things, and, you know, I'm speaking to all the listeners out there, you got to try and limit your time in Abu Dhabi.
You do.
You don't want to be out there for the week. So I'm doing the...
My sort of consumer travel advice for listeners who might be looking to go out there, just do what Lando and Oscar will do and get a helicopter from the track to the Hilton and back. Fine.
No, of
course.
Much
easier.
No, to travel, definitely. But I'm talking more also time you actually spend in the country. See, I would land there on the Saturday.
In-N-Out burger.
Yeah. You're doing an In-N-Out job. You're sort of getting in. Sort of Friday night, Saturday quali,
to be
Sunday
honest,
race.
I'm half surprised you're showing up on a day of the week. I would have thought you'd be like a Sunday morning specialist on that
Well, to be honest, I was thinking about it, but at the same time, I was like, you know, I've got to go do some sales.
That's true.
So I'd rather be there for a little bit longer. So
yeah, do some pesting.
Do some pesting around the paddock like I usually do.
Oh, very nice.
Well, like, best bullshitter, eh?
I was going to say, yeah, one of them. I was going to say, I don't know if I'm jealous or not, to be perfectly honest.
But I think I will have a lot of fun.
You have a bit of fun.
It'll be good to see the mates again, you know. And
The old guard.
The old
shows
guard
up,
walk
you know?
Around the paddock and feel important again.
Yeah, be nice.
But yeah, no, that's pretty much it about Formula 1, Formula 2. I mean, let's see what happens in sprint quali tonight in Qatar.
Yeah, I might chuck a bet on. Should we chuck a bet on?
Yeah, can do.
Let's see if we can. Oh, actually, this didn't make it to air last week, the bet that we did.
No, so we do usually a bet before qualifying where we believe who is the driver out of the two teammates who's going to be in front, and we put that to bet365 and try and knock it out the park. Now, JB,
right, I'm only doing £1 this time because I lost £5 last time, and okay. I can't do £5.
You can't do five. No. What a shame.
Well, I can, but I mean, I don't want to.
Okay, I see. So let's go. Run through the grid there, please.
Okay, let me just get to the right segment of Bet365.
By the way, this is not an advertisement to Bet Online. This is just a sort of fun
Bet365, actually. Could just generic betting.
Are we doing main quali or sprint quali?
I'm trying to do the sprint quali, but I'm actually
just
not.
Main.
I don't know if it's giving me those odds right now. Driver markets?
No, I think you should just go main. Main quali.
Hang on, can you navigate this? I'm not very good at gambling.
Oh.
It's going to take a hit on the old...
Where is qualifying? I have no idea where this is.
Right, well, we won't do that then.
No, I want to do that.
I usually do a ride on it, on a little, what do they call them? Multi bet on the Formula Ones.
I'm trying to do a bet builder. Hold on, chat.
Yeah. Bet builder. That's what I'm talking.
I think we should. We're going to come back.
Okay. All right. Tell you what. Actually, I'll tell you what. Submit your most outrageous picks for the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix, and we'll chuck £5 on the stupidest one.
What you mean? You're talking to the listeners there?
Yeah.
Yeah, submit your craziest.
Submit some wild bets, and we'll pick our favorite one next week, and we'll chuck a fiver on it. And if it comes in, we'll send you a CD. We'll send you a signed Nora Jones CD.
Well done.
Groovy. All right, can we step into the crisis control? Because we need to get this thing moving.
Yeah, we shall.
Actually, we're going to stay somewhat in Formula One land. Sorry, get us into the room first. Things changed.
Yep, we're in the room. Now, obviously, this is a crisis close to home. It's coming from this
racing
newspaper called Motorcycle Sports. Chaos at the top.
Oh.
FIA crisis deepens as senior steward blasts Ben Sulayem after firing by text. So let me just delve into it a little bit more. The FIA's latest internal shakeup, has ignited fresh controversy. I'm struggling.
French controversy.
With senior steward Tim Mayer publicly criticizing FIA president Mohammed Ben Sulayem after being unceremoniously dismissed via text message. Mayer, who has served in various capacities within the FIA for over 15 years, joins a growing list of high-profile departures, raising questions about the stability and direction of the motorsport's governing body. Basically, it's a shit show.
Is it? Or, when you get dumped over text, right?
Yeah.
It's like you're angry. You're rightfully aggrieved.
No, for sure. Especially if it's been a 15-year relationship such as this one.
15 years. That's actually pretty bad.
15 years at the FIA. Yeah, that's fired by text.
That's bad darts, isn't it?
Well, you know, obviously I think the drivers were pretty unhappy when it came to the race stewards. And it's fair to say that when it came to...
There's been adequate amount of criticism.
We're talking about, but also stewards who have been very inconsistent. And the FIA has been sort of a bit all over the place. I feel like when Jean Todt was around, it was a little bit more consistent, a little bit more... Not as many controversies as the last couple of years.
Oh, I don't think as many of them made it to the papers as the last couple of years.
That's possibly more like it, yes.
Yeah.
No, definitely a bit more secrecy back in the day.
Certainly, yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, what's your take on this?
Do you know, I'm not sure this is a crisis. I kind of endorse the move.
So you're telling me that this crisis has just already been solved because you fully agree with the outcome?
Yeah, I endorse it.
Wait. Are you endorsing the firing or the firing by text?
Both. Both.
What's Tim Mayer done to you?
Nothing directly, but indirectly he's probably ruined a few races for me.
Such as?
I don't know. But look, as you said, the drivers have been moaning, quite rightly so actually, for a little while about inconsistencies and various things, you know, race craft, how far do we push it, whatever. I mean, an out-and-out sacking over text is tough, but...
And there's also certain comments that have been made by the FIA's governing body, especially the president, regarding, you know, sort of the drivers and so on.
Yeah.
And their use of language. It all started really with the jewellery. And, I mean, the best move that I've ever seen by a driver to sort of go against that was Seb Vettel wearing his underwear over his suit.
That is fantastic.
Which I thought was a fantastic move. It's a, sort of a big sort of finger to the FIA.
Yeah.
But there you go. I mean, in the end... It's been a bit of a shaky sort of couple of years. How would you make it any better?
I'd probably send him a fruit basket or something.
Are you talking
nice,
about
nice
Tim
note?
Mayer?
Yeah.
Oh no. See, I was going further in depth. I've changed the crisis from the crisis being the firing because you obviously
I don't care.
Agree.
Yeah.
So I've gone further and changed it to the FIA crisis. How do you solve the FIA crisis?
Jesus, mate, that's a big question.
And do you know what? I have the answer.
All righty. Well, give me one go.
We've spoken about my answer before, but yeah, you go ahead.
AI.
No.
Okay.
Well, that's not a bad idea.
Yes, actually not a bad idea. Yeah.
I mean, it'd be unbiased.
Yeah.
But anyway.
So it wouldn't be a race steward.
No, it'd just be a computer. Imagine your computer telling you you've done a shit job.
Yeah.
Not good. But anyways, yeah, how would you solve it? The broader FIA crisis.
Well, I think they need to implement Workday into their operating system. That's if they're not doing that already, you know, Workday is, I think... They do pit stops and offices and things like that. So that seems to make sense from the ads I've seen. I think it's all about dialogue, mate. Dialogue. You've just got to open up that communication. And I think with the FIA being a French organisation, that's tricky. I'll see. Because you folks do like to keep your cards close to your chest when you go.
You do, as a Frenchman, you really do.
Yeah. And no, so I think that, yeah, dialogue's going to be a big part of it. And I think casual Fridays, you know?
Casual Friday drinks.
There you go.
That I think that would open the discussion.
Like a drinks trolley that goes around at lunchtime on a Friday in the FIA head offices and around the...
the paddock.
Yeah, but in the stewards room as well. You know, before the race, everybody has a cocktail. So you can just, all right, calm down. Oh, was there on the fit was a bit, racing incident. If we just get everyone a pina colada pre-race, we'd end up with a lot more racing incidents and a lot less 5 second, 10 second penalties.
I agree. I actually agree with your point there. See, I was going to go into sort of a much simpler fix.
Okay. More simpler than just 15 pina coladas a weekend.
Yeah.
Okay.
Seb Vowell was a president of the FIA.
Yeah, no, we've discussed that before. Yeah, 100% has to happen.
So I think, actually, surprisingly, we've come to terms with this crisis pretty quickly. Pina coladas before the race.
Yep.
Not for the drivers, for the stewards.
Yeah.
And for the race director.
Mm. Maybe two for the race director.
Well, he is in a higher position.
More stress.
More stress. And Seb Vettel, president of the FIA.
Yeah, so if we get the race director on like on a 1+1 deal with the pina coladas, everyone else on a one drink contract.
Yeah.
Seb up the top, so he can
have three drinks.
You know, drink as much as he wants, to be perfectly honest. He's the boss.
Yeah, true.
I don't see anything wrong with it. I can't.
To be honest, objectively, I cannot see anything wrong with Seb Vettel being FIA president.
How many FIA presidents in history would be able to name every single Formula One world champion in consecutive order? Zero.
Zero. But that's a man with passion. That's a guy who's actually got true passion for the sport.
And I'm passionate about passion.
Now, of course, the FIA has a lot more mandates, you know, say road safety and so on, which I think he would take a keen interest in.
Yeah, Max Mosley actually did a great job there.
Yeah, and I mean, he takes a keen interest into that as well.
Mm.
And I think Seb is one of those guys that once you give him a mission, he's going after it.
Yeah, he'll get it done.
There's no stopping him.
He'll paint anything as a B, you know. He won't stop it now.
I mean, no, imagine when you think about it, the incentive of the bees.
Mm.
I mean, it comes from a very simple idea, but it's possibly not one of the most outgoing forward, like, not forward thinking, but outgoing sort of, not necessarily charities, but...
It's not a world changer,
No, it could be.
It's a microscopic gain, and that's...
It's a microscopic gain that can turn into something massive, but he still managed to paint the curbs.
Yeah.
In Suzuka.
Yeah, that's pretty good effort.
No, but imagine the visibility from it. From potentially not such a life-changing sort of... potentially life-changing, but what I'm trying to say is it's not been the thing that's been promoted the most as sort of something...
The Formula One organization as a whole and the FIA generally and giving back don't tend to go hand in hand.
Well, I think it's changing, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that would change quite drastically with Sebastian Vettel at the top. So how do we rally this through? Like, a petition, how many signatures? If a petition got the right amount of momentum and the right amount of exposure, how many signatures do you reckon we get? 500,000?
I reckon we could get over 1 million signatures to get Seb Vettel as president of the FIA.
All right, fuck it. Let's do it.
Should we actually do an online petition?
We might upset. We do work. This is the smartest idea to be campaigning to remove the head of the FIA.
Okay, maybe this is a great idea for someone of our fan base.
Who's not directly involved with motorsport and their livelihood doesn't depend on whether or not the FIA likes them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think that would be a good one. So I mean, fans out there who want to start a petition to put Seb Vettel as chief, you know, sort of...
Now you've said that, honestly, watch 17 pop up in the next couple of days.
So, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, cool. No, I'm into it. All right,
you're back, bud.
Seb and pina coladas, done.
Done.
All right, and that's another week of work done. That's another week of podcasting done, mate. It's 5:45 on a Friday. We're still in the fucking office.
I know, mate. We're off to the pub.
Yeah, let's go. Let's go now and fast.
See you later. All right, cheers, mate. Cheers.